We're doing the Chazon Ish. We're up to the 13th section of the first chapter. Shosh tikun amidot husur mira. The root of perfecting our traits is to veer away from that which is evil. V'noach lo la'adam nekayem asei tov. The verse says, sur mira va'asei tov. Turn away from that which is evil and be proactive in doing that which is good. That's the verse. So our sages said they are two distinct elements. There's the sur mira, turn away from doing bad, and then there's the advancement to the stage of asei tov, to doing that which is good. So the root, says the Chazon Ish, is first to cease from doing that which is evil. And it's pleasant, it's correct, it's fitting, it's the right path for man to also perform asei tov, to be proactive in doing good. Aval min hakoshi hu lekayem sur mira. But it's much harder to turn away from that which is evil. It's easier to do that which is right. Let's take a simple example. Now you're going to get married. That's the asei tov. That's easy. That's pleasant. You're supposed to delete all your ex-girlfriends from Facebook. All those girls you knew in your past. That's a sur mira. Turn away from that which is wrong. That's much harder. How many people get married and leave all those girls still in their contacts? Why?
Nice.
Nice, yeah, okay. Maybe not so nice, yeah? Yes.
Way out the door if you do that.
Generally speaking, when you turn away from bad, by that action, aren't you doing good?
Not necessarily. Tell you a story. Guy walks into the office, Mahon Mirovs, he's been here 3 weeks. And he's huffing and puffing and his nostrils are flaring and I'm not sure what's bothering him. And he stomps his hand on the table and says, Rabbi, this is the first week in my life. I haven't beaten up anyone yet. You know, I'm cowering behind the desk. You know, why'd he come to tell me that, right? Okay, did he do good? I guess in heaven it is considered meritorious that a person restrains himself from doing bad, but, okay, you know. I mean, some questions you don't ask, right? Yes.
Could this also apply like on a mental level? Like you can say physical action, like not doing this or that, but it's also in terms of like your like how you are as a person, like in terms of happiness, if you want to say. So, like, if it's a mitzvah to be, like, simcha, then, like, in other words, you can wake up in the morning and say, I'm tired, like, da-da-da-da-da, and then you could, in other words, that's, like, the raw. So you could say, all right, like, today's an okay day. Or you can, like, be like, oh, it's a beautiful sunrise, it's beautiful this, it's a beautiful that. And then you're actively, like, getting yourself into being in a positive mood.
I think that's, you know, that's a copy-paste of this concept, but it's not the same concept. I'm saying it's, here we're talking about evil and good. It's not evil to be lethargic. You know, it's pleasant to be proactive and happy and filled with zest for life. But I don't think it's the same. It isn't this concept. It's a similar idea.
If you stay until 2 o'clock in the night every time, you cannot wake up in the morning. So it's evil. You decide that. So
okay.
You cannot wake up in the morning. Because you don't
I wouldn't use the word evil so easily.
So
I would say it's wrong, it's not a productive way of life.
No, I don't say that he doesn't. Evil means you decide that. I mean, you don't wake up in the morning to daven, no?
Okay, you want to say it's a sin.
No,
evil is a harsh word. What?
Who am I to decide if I assume evil or evil?
Okay.
So you don't say evil, so what do you say, wrong?
Okay, maybe wrong. Fine. You want to say that's turning away from that which is wrong and then going to that which is right. Okay, I think that would be encompassed. I agree. Yeah. Back to the Chazon Ish. Even though we could end after this sentence, you know, that's enough food for thought. Yesh min ha'ishim she'em omdim hachin limsor she'erit kocham letovat zulatam. This piece in the Chazon Ish has to be read and reread and publicized internationally. There are people who are ever ready to give up whatever strength they have, their last ounce of strength, for the betterment of other people, be it individuals or the public. Vehem kapdanim biyoter. Yet, they have quite a temper. So, he's doing a lot of good, but he never took away that which is wrong in his personality. It's much easier to do good. I'm giving charity. So what if I'm the most obnoxious, ill-tempered human being? But look at all the good I'm doing. And if someone dares slight them in the slightest way, they get so upset you can't hold it back. I was once with a child in critical care in the hospital, and the hospital made the mistake of not consulting with the head of the department. So the child, he died within the next 24 hours, but we knew the situation was critical. And the head of the department was so annoyed that he wasn't told about what was going on, that he wouldn't answer his phone. So he's there, he's the head of the department, and they're calling him, and he's not willing to answer the phone. And when I go and knock on his office door, he won't answer the office door. And I know what time he's supposed to leave his office, so I wait outside the office, and when he comes out, I don't have time, and he walks off to his car. So someone slighted his honor, and that's it. You know, so all day long he's saving lives, he's really a great doctor, but if his honor was slighted, so deal without me. Okay.
I don't understand the connection.
The Chazon Ish is saying, we take the easy route, we think that by doing good, then that absolves us from taking care of that which is wrong in our personality. So a person can have many positive aspects, but that doesn't mean he's fixed that which is wrong. The Chazon Ish says we need both, and it's much harder to fix the arrogance, the anger, the problems we have in our personality, and you have people in the world who will do a lot of good, but they've never fixed that which is wrong.
In some ways, it sounds like that good even hinders them in fixing this wrong. Because it's easy to rationalize, I'm this great doctor, this great teacher, this great whatever. You know, I do so much good. The fact that I have these issues, I can rationalize easier. When if you just, you know what I'm saying? It's easier to mistake your gifts for your efforts.
We have to discern. That's the genius in how the Chazon Ish began the paragraph. He said there are two points. You can't mix the two. There's Sur Merah, there's Asay Tov. And the fact that we can easily do Asay Tov does not compensate for the Sur Merah. We have to deal with that which we're doing wrong. We have to fix ourselves.
What's wrong is stronger than the good?
He's not saying now that we have to judge a person and decide what's stronger. He's saying when we work on ourselves, we have to realize you need both. You need to do good, but you also have to fix that which is wrong. It's not. Sometimes a person gives himself an excuse. He says, I'm doing so much good. So that legitimizes the bad. No, it doesn't. It's two different realms.
So what if I don't spend time with my kids? I'm helping the community so much, or whatever. It's a leading example.
And there are a lot of people who doesn't look into the girl, to the car, see we come in the morning, blah, 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 but don't do good. Just restrain himself and...
Okay. So you're saying you need both. Okay. Videm kalot lechalek malumot retzach ve'oy lo lemi shepaga bahem. And their hands are so light, so swift, to give a blow that's a fatal blow. And woe to he who crosses them. I remember at that time, not that time, on a different occasion. Again, a child was in the intensive care unit, and I asked one of the nurses if we can ask the doctor a question. So she whispers to me and she says, "You can ask, and don't you dare forget to call the doctor professor." She said, if you want an answer, you better remember that she's a professor. Okay. It's nice of her to have told me, woe to he who crosses the person. The Chazon Ish says it's impossible to sense honor, praise, glory for such a philanthropist. Even though the person is dedicated and he's helping society, אחרי שזה הגבר לא עמל על תיקון מידותיו. This person did not work on fixing himself. והסקנותו טבעית. And the fact that he's a busybody, that's part of his nature. So he's a busybody in helping people too. שאהובה לו היצירה נעשית על ידו. He likes to be productive. So he's channeled it in a positive direction. ועל הרוב נעימה לו ההרצה הכוננת בלב כל מכיריו. And he finds it pleasant that people appreciate him. ואומנם הבריות נהנים ממנו, and it's true, people benefit from such a person. ואומנם הוא מעולל ומשובח בבחינת התהילה והשבח הניתן לחפץ הסגולה, והוא נכס עיקר ערך. And the truth is that people do praise him, the same way you praise an iPhone, the same way you praise a tool that has good use.
Which kind of person do you praise, like an iPhone?
He's saying a person who does positive things, but he hasn't fixed his traits. So it's true, he's benefiting humanity and people will praise him. אבל מעלל איש בשכלו, but the true praise of man is his intellect. What he's really accomplished in taking charge of himself. וזה תגמול החכם שעמל בשליטת הנפש על נטיות רוחו בטבעו. And the truth is that praise is worthy. A person is worthy of praise when he's really worked to take control of his soul, when he's worked to take control of his predispositions, when a person has taken charge of his nature. לא יתעלל בו גבר על תנועותיו הטבעיות. You shouldn't praise a person for something that comes to him naturally. So it comes naturally to this guy to be a busybody and to manage things and be in charge of things. Fine. The Chazon Ish concludes with the story. מעשה בחסיד אחד שהזמין אורח לסעוד אצלו בשבת. There was once a chusid, invited someone to come have the meal by me on Shabbos. ובביתו כבר הכינו בליבם קבלת פני האורח. And everyone at home was already preparing and excited to welcome the guest. כי גם בני ביתו אהבו את האורחים. His family also enjoyed and liked taking in guests. ואומנם המחלק את האורחים לא ידע מהזמנתו של החסיד. But up until this century, and even in the beginning of this century, my grandfather told me when he grew up in Lithuania, the way things worked was you'd show up to a community for Shabbos, and then there was a guy who was in charge. It was like the gabbai at the end of davening. He'd allocate the guests. He'd say, so-and-so, do you mind taking this guest? And so-and-so, what about you taking this guest? And that's how davening ran, Friday night, Shabbos morning. So the guy who was allocating the guests, he was unaware of the invitation that the chusid gave to this person. So this guy who's in charge of allocating the guests takes the guest and tells him, come, go to so-and-so for the meal. וכאשר שב החסיד בליל שבת קודש מבית הכנסת, לא מצא כבר את האורח, ויבוא בגפו הביתה. So the chassid comes back from his shul, and he goes to the main synagogue, and he's looking to collect the guest that he agreed with, and the guest is gone. So he comes home alone. וכששמעו בני ביתו שאין להם אורח, התעצבו מאוד. So when his family heard there's no guest for Shabbos, they all got upset. ויאמר להם החסיד, אין האורח כאחד מהנכסים לעשות בו סחורה. So the chassid said to them, he says, you know what? A guest isn't a commodity. A guest isn't something that you barter with. It's not like we needed to take the guest. We needed to ensure that the guest had what he needed, that he had a good meal for Shabbos. But does it matter if he got it from me or someone else? We're supposed to care for him, that he gets what he needs. He got what he needs, so we should be happy. We would have enjoyed having him here, that's true, but the point of the mitzvah was not that we should have a good time, we had a guest. The point of the mitzvah is that he gets the care he needs. He got that good. לא כן מנת חלקם של דלת עם. But that's not the way the amaratzim, the people who are less intelligent, that's not the way they necessarily behave. אם הוא אוהב לעשות טוב, לא ימנע ממנו צרות עין ואין דעתו נוחה לראות אחרים במנחתו. If a person likes to do good, so then he's stingy in the good too. He's not happy letting someone else take over for him. And here, we should really quote a halacha. Let's take the following example. You want to invite a guest. And you see right next to you, there's someone else who wants to invite that guest too. And that guy actually can offer him either a better meal, more divrei Torah, maybe that guy is going to have, maybe his daughter is a good shidduch for the guy. There are 1,000 reasons why it might be better for the guest to go to him. But you and your wife just got married, and you're going to be pretty lonely sitting alone at the Shabbos table. And anyways, you wanted to invite a guest. And you told your wife you're coming home with a guest. That's what you want. Are you thinking about what's good for him or what's good for me? Very often we have situations where we're stingy with our mitzvos. And if we'd really be thinking about the ideal, the way a mitzvah should be done, we'd let someone else do it. And this is quoted in halacha. There's a very difficult halacha. Took me years to swallow. The halacha says, if a person grows his own crops, then he has a mitzvah to take off a tithe, to take off the portion for the Kohen, the Levite. He makes a blessing, and these portions are, so to speak, his gifts to God. Okay, understood. We have a rabbinic institution that when you take off the tithes, you should make a blessing. Understood? The rabbi said, whenever you make a blessing, that blessing is in its ideal state when you hear yourself. If you made that blessing, but you didn't hear yourself making the blessing, if a person is deaf, so then even though he makes the blessing is not really performed in its ideal state. B'di'eved, worst case scenario, it qualifies. But it's not l'chatchila. So now the halacha says, what happens when you have someone who's deaf, who has his crops that have grown in his field, he harvested them, and now he has to take off a tithe from his crops. So you can imagine the excitement. The guy wants to give his tithe to the Kohen and the Levite, right? The portion for the Kohen, the portion for the Levite, etc. Along comes the halacha and says, but he won't hear his own blessing.
What's the word for hear? Shomer?
Yeah. He won't hear his own blessing. So then when he makes the blessing and takes off the tithe, it's only kosher as a worst case scenario, as a bidyeved. Lichatchila, if someone else would take off the tithe, then they would make a blessing that was audible to them. Then they would hear the blessing. So the halacha says, this person should knock on his neighbor's door and say, could you come and take the tithe for me? So even though it's his own crops, and he has a mitzvah to do it with his own crops. What the halacha teaches us is that we each have a responsibility to see to it that the mitzvah is performed in its ideal state. Even though it's the deaf person's mitzvah, it's his crops. Comes the halacha and says, so knock on your neighbor's door and see to it that the mitzvah is done in its ideal state. But my neighbor doesn't have a mitzvah, it's my food. Right. But if you bring him into the picture, then when he performs the mitzvah will be done right. Bring him into the picture. So now, let's take it to a much more personal state. Okay? You're a doctor in the hospital. And they want to hire you for a surgery, which you'll make $15,000 off of. You want to do that surgery. But you know that specifically in this surgery, your friend is more skilled. He's a better doctor in that realm. Do you tell the patient, you know, I'm willing to do it for you, but I think you're better off hiring him? That's much harder to do. But the Torah comes and teaches us, we have to strive to see to it that things are done in their best, in the best way. When it comes to mitzvot, it's not just a question of what I get out of the mitzvah, it's a question of how is the mitzvah performed best. And that's a higher level that every person has to aspire to. So, bottom line, what do we see today? We said there are 2 stages, sur mira asei tov. People tend to pursue the asei tov because it's easier, and yet it's not as praiseworthy if a person focused on the asei tov without taking care of the sur mira. If a person is truthful in his aspirations to do what's right, then the sur mira should also take center stage in a person's life. At the risk of minimizing what we just learned, I would just like to add a Hasidic thought. The Hasidim like to say, Adon Tivot Shalom writes this often, that often a person can accomplish sur meira, turning away from that which is evil, al yedei, through focusing on asei tov, doing what's right. Meaning sometimes doing what's right can be therapeutic. If we're going to try to turn away from that which is wrong, sometimes the best way to do that is to focus on doing that which is right. So a person says, you know, my whole life I was involved in scams. So we say, okay, get involved in the positive, and that way you'll slowly get out of that habit of scamming people. Hopefully, right? You know.
But
I'm just saying that's not what the Chazon Ish just said. I'm just saying we should be aware there is another approach to this whole thing. The two don't have to be completely disjointed.